The following series of retreat conferences is being given by Father John A. Hardin, Jesuit, at the Mother House of the Handmaids of the Precious Blood, situated high in the Jemez Mountains of New Mexico. Father Hardin is giving these conferences in our Adoration Chapel of St. Anne.
In our opening conference, I thought we would say something about a biblical retreat. In other words, the spiritual exercise is based on sacred scripture. Before we begin this retreat, therefore, I think it will be useful to ask ourselves, just what are we about? My favorite three questions: what, why, and how. What is a biblical retreat? Or more specifically, what is distinctive about making the spiritual exercises based on Holy Scripture? Why make this kind of a retreat? And most practically, how can we make it most profitably? In one sense, every retreat is a biblical retreat. You cannot go through the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius without finding sacred scripture from beginning to end. However, in asking ourselves what is a biblical retreat, I think we might be a little more specific. A retreat based on sacred scripture is one in which the immediate focus of the meditations, I repeat, the immediate focus of the meditations, is a revealed written word of God. As Catholics, we believe that God's revelation comes to us from two sources: sacred scripture and sacred tradition. And generally speaking, we do not distinguish. All we want to know is it God's revealed word. In this kind of a retreat, however, our immediate focus or target is to draw on the revealed wisdom found in the Bible. Again, a biblical retreat is one in which the spirituality of the Bible is explored in sequence, beginning at the beginning of the Bible and ending with its end. Because, you see, there have been two kinds of progress or development over the centuries of man's existence. The first has been what we call development of revelation. God began to reveal his mind and will from the dawn of human history. And he continued so revealing himself to chosen persons, some of whom he inspired to write down what he revealed, and others not to write down, but to pass on orally, as we say. But there was an end to what we call the public revelation made by God to the human race. It began with the beginning of human history, and it closed with the end of the apostolic age. It was completed with the death, so we Catholics believe, of the last of the apostles. From the end of the first century to the present time, there has been a second form of development, which we dare not call progressive or continuing revelation, but rather development of doctrine. The revelation necessary for the salvation and sanctification of mankind, we believe, began with our first parents and was completed with the close of the apostolic age. But since the end of the first century, the Church, under divine guidance, enlightened by the Holy Spirit, has no longer added, as we say, to the content of revelation, but has over the centuries deepened and penetrated her understanding of the meaning of God's revealed word, completed with the age of the apostles. We call that development of doctrine, as distinct from development of revelation. And the one benefit of making what we're calling a biblical retreat is to see that there has indeed been progress, growth, and development in God's revealed wisdom to mankind. God revealed accumulatively, quantitatively, more and more from the first book of the Bible, Genesis, to the book of Revelation or the Apocalypse. What we wish especially to see in this retreat is the marked difference. No words can make clear enough how different, how far more elevated is the revelation of the New Testament, literally, over what God had revealed in the Old Law. This is of great importance because we are living perforce in a culture which is not by its laws and institutions a Catholic society. It is profoundly shaped by those whom we call our separated brethren. And over the years, one of my favorite definitions of Protestantism is Old Testament Christianity. It is not my purpose here to expand on the definition, except to say that we Catholics in our spiritual life had better be very clear in realizing once God became man in the person of Jesus Christ, the spiritual life of the old law was raised to heights or from another perspective, deepened beyond anything that was ever known or revealed to the patriarchs and prophets of the old law. We are still on the question of what is a biblical retreat. In saying that we concentrate on sacred scripture, needless to say, this is a Catholic retreat. My partner on the plane coming in from Washington to Albuquerque, when I told him I was going to Hamath Springs, he asked me, "What for?" I told him to give a retreat. And he's a staunch, as I found out, believing Lutheran. What's a retreat? So I gave him a little introduction. The last thing he expected on the plane was to get a mini retreat from a Catholic priest. He asked for it. A biblical retreat made by Catholics is based on Holy Scripture indeed, but on Scripture as interpreted by the Church's teaching authority. It is a retreat, therefore, whose purpose is to acquire a deeper appreciation of the inspired wisdom of sacred scripture. All of this is locked up in the simple question, what is a biblical retreat? Second question, why make this kind of a retreat? Why, in other words, concentrate on the Bible? Well, I don't think there's a better reason. And we're asking the question, why? I don't believe there is a better reason for making the spiritual exercises based on sacred scripture. And the reason given by the Second Vatican Council in the Dogmatic Constitution on Divine Revelation, known in Latin as Dei Verbum. Says this constitution, I quote, all the preaching of the church, as indeed the entire Christian religion, should be nourished and ruled by sacred scripture. In the sacred books, the Father who is in heaven comes lovingly to meet his children. And from the scriptures, he talks with them. Such is the force and power of the Word of God that it can serve the church as a support and vigor, and the children of the church as strength for their faith, food for the soul, and a pure and lasting fount of the spiritual life. Unquote, of Vatican II, which I submit is a very good reason why we should make a retreat based on the inspired written Word of God. Summarily, we might say that the inspired books of the Bible provide strength for our faith in whatever else we're going to talk about during this retreat. We're going to talk about the faith to deepen and strengthen our faith. How so? By making what we believe more intelligible, to have it make more sense to us. Secondly, that the revealed written Word of God might become more clear to us, to remove the confusion from our minds. And thirdly, provide strength for our faith by deepening our conviction that what we believe is indeed the truth. St. Thomas Aquinas, in his explanation of the revealed written Word of God, does not hesitate to say that reading the scriptures, I remember the Latin, lectio scripturae est quasi sacramentum. Reading the scriptures is like a sacrament. Those are strong words. And the church considers St. Thomas her great teacher of both theology and the spiritual life. In what intelligible sense is the inspired written Word of God read with piety and devotion, a quasi-sacrament? Remember, whatever else a sacrament is, it produces effects far beyond the material used or the syllables pronounced. Reading sacred scripture can produce grace in the soul of a believing mind to see, and a believing will to do what no other source of inspiration can provide us with. In the plainest English at our disposal, the revealed written Word of God is meant to nourish, literally, feed the supernatural life that we've acquired at baptism, so that by nourishing our souls with the wisdom of sacred scripture, we will be able to sustain ourselves on the only food that can provide sustenance for the supernatural life, namely God's revealed truth. Our third question. How to benefit from making the spiritual exercises based on sacred scripture? First, assume that the Holy Spirit, the same one who inspired the Bible, provided I am humbly listening to his word and his explanation during the retreat, have the Holy Spirit has much to tell me that until I began the retreat, I did not know. I couldn't find a better passage than the one from 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter. Here's what St. Paul says. I suggest we apply this to ourselves. Remember, Paul is writing to Timothy. We call the relationship of Timothy to Paul. Paul was his mentor. Timothy, you might say, was his spiritual child. Says Paul, ever since you were a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. From these, you can learn the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Then follows the sentence that I recommend we all memorize. Perhaps the most quoted passage from the Bible on the purpose of the Bible in our lives. Continues St. Paul. All scripture is inspired by God and can profitably be used for teaching, for refuting error, for guiding people's lives, and teaching them to be holy. Let's go back over these words of St. Paul. All Scripture is inspired by God and can profitably be used, first, for teaching. How are we to make a biblical retreat? By seeing in sacred Scripture a source of knowledge, of truth for our minds to learn. Whatever else is important in a spiritual life, and many things are very important, the rock bottom is knowing God's revealed truth. And that, says the Holy Spirit, inspiring St. Paul, writing to his spiritual son Timothy, is the first, fundamental, and primary purpose of the inspired written Word of God. For teaching, to enlighten our minds to know the truth. All the generosity, all the goodwill, all the flaming zeal is so much wasted effort unless that will and zeal are based on possession of the truth taught mainly from sacred Scripture. Second, all Scripture, says Paul, is inspired by God and can profitably be used for refuting error. How widespread is error in the world today? Thanks mainly to the demonic use of the media. One of the great marvels of God's providence in the modern world, providing us with means for communicating knowledge instantaneously, persuasively, from the most distant places, reaching not thousands, not millions, hundreds of millions of people at the same time, never before known in the history of the human race. Oh, but whatever else we should know is of those in charge of our media, of communication. What a safe statement. Are not those who believe what the Scriptures contain. Second purpose, for refuting error. And of the Bible, said the Holy Spirit, telling Paul to tell Timothy, if the Bible was to refute error in the first century, what shall we say about the need for this powerful weapon of the truth to refute error in our day? Third purpose. I'm quoting the Holy Spirit inspiring Paul, teaching Timothy. All Scripture is to be used for guiding people's lives. After all, it is one thing to know the truth. It is even more to be able to distinguish truth from error. Oh, but it's in the how. How do you put this into practice? How do you live this truth? The Holy Spirit says, and he uses the universal, all Scripture, for guiding people's lives. We need direction. We need someone to lead us. And who better than the Spirit of God, who, on his own witness, inspired the sacred books to be our principal spiritual director. And that spiritual director is to be capitalized. He is the Spirit of the Infinite God. Finally, and most pertinently for this retreat, the four reasons, unquote, the Holy Spirit, why the Scriptures were written. The fourth of these reasons, teaching people to be holy. And whatever else the spiritual life is, or better, whatever else the spiritual life is supposed to be, it is to be a constant growth in holiness, to become more and more, day by day, like the God from whom we came, the All-Holy One, and for whom we were made. Oh yes, oh yes, but the only ones who will return to the God from whom they came are those who leave time and enter eternity in the state of holiness. That's my first recommendation. Better. I protected myself by going back to the Scriptures and sharing with you not my poor thoughts, but the wisdom of the all-wise God. All Scripture has been inspired by God for the four purposes we have identified. And my friends, during this retreat, we need all four. Now, to draw on some of this inspired wisdom from the sacred scriptures. Anyone who begins a retreat must assume, the word is must assume there are things in our lives that need. I ended up with 6 things we need that need correction, that need removal, that need endurance, that need to be added, things that are missing, that need improvement, that need to be continued, remain firm, that need to be deepened in the mind, that need to be strengthened in my will. We are only as strong as our minds are strong. And there's only one source of strength for the mind, and that is God's truth. Only people with convictions are people of courage, nobody else. And the convictions are to come from the mind of God, enlightening our minds, and thus giving courage to our wills. The words of our Savior, oh, how we can miss the profound depth. Blessed is he who perseveres to the end. To keep going and going until our last vocation, the call from this life into the life that will never end. Again, if we are to benefit from making the spiritual exercises based on sacred scripture, we must assume that God's grace is not only ready, but literally envelops us constantly, what shall I say, eagerly, available. All we have to do is want the grace and then use it. I have 4 more recommendations. Each is an imperative of the verb. Each of the imperatives is to be followed by an exclamation mark. How to benefit from the spiritual exercises based on sacred scripture. 4 imperatives. Pray. The ordinary source of grace available to mankind is prayer. Who will be saved? Those who pray. Who will be lost? Those who don't pray. Second, trust. Obviously, not yourselves, God. He is not an impassive bystander as we struggle through this valley of tears, groping, climbing the mountain to the Most High. Trust that having brought us into this world, he will also bring us into the next. Third, plan. One of my favorite passages from the Old Testament is where wisdom, that is God speaking to human beings, says, I, wisdom, dwell in counsel. That's spelled S-E-L. I, wisdom, dwell in forethought. I, wisdom, dwell in planning. That's why, by the way, we've got a mind to use it. The last thing any rational human being would do at 5 o'clock in the afternoon is cross Park Avenue in New York City with a looking and not into the both sides, but first, do I have the red light with me? And has it been on long enough for the taxi speeding at 60 miles an hour not going through the light and hitting me on the way? All kinds of forethought and foresight, all kinds of worldly wisdom we've got. What we need is to plan, anticipate the opportunities that I foresee and the dangers and temptations that lie ahead. Finally, resolve. As St. Ignatius understands the spiritual exercises, they are meant to end with a decision by the mind and a resolution of the will. Looking at my past, looking into my foreseeable future, here's what I think God wants me to tell him I will do. And then do it. A closing prayer. Most Holy Spirit, you gave us the sacred scriptures as our guide through life on our way to eternity. Enlighten our minds during this retreat to know your will in our regard. Strengthen our wills to embrace your divine will, no matter what the price may be, through the merits of Jesus Christ. our Lord and our God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.